celebrated around the table what Jesus has done for us. And I want you to be thinking about this as the Lord goes through this message this morning. How does God want you to respond? Now, a lot of times you don't hear that till the end, but I want you to prepare yourselves. I want you to be thinking about it and maybe even thinking, okay, who's going to come with me if I respond? Because I think it's important. Today, God has a message for each one of us, and sometimes we need to take out a step of faith and respond. So I'll just say that to start with, and you can just do with whatever you need to do when we come near the end. Well, Jesus has held nothing back to accomplish his goal here on earth. What Satan thought was his victory over Jesus was Jesus' way of crushing Satan. As God told us way back in Genesis chapter 3 that it was going to be Jesus that was going to crush Satan because he deceived Adam and Eve. Through the power of the cross and the resurrection, death has been defeated. This power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power available to us. Knowing the power we can have through Christ in our lives makes a difference how we live out our lives. I like the illustration that Tony Evans uses in his book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. So, I need you to think, how would you respond as you're walking down the street and somebody comes up to you with a loaded gun and points a loaded gun at you? Would your heart beat real fast? Would you just freeze? Or would you run like crazy? All right, here's another situation. Almost the same, but something's different. This same person comes up to you, holds a gun at you, but you know it's not loaded. It's a total different ball game. Satan loves to throw things at us and wave it around. But you know what? He is powerless. Jesus has taken the bullet out of the gun. It's no bullet in the gun. We have the victory through Jesus, no matter what Satan throws at us. And that's what we need to remember as we go through life when all these things seem to come our way. Because, as Paul says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We've been set free because of Jesus. We do not need to live our lives in fear. Our victory comes from the truth that through Jesus, we have been made complete when we trust in him for our salvation. As Tony Evans went on to say in his book, he says, you were transferred from the dominion of darkness into the victorious kingdom of light. So what does it look like if we're living our lives in this victorious kingdom? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'd like to look at verse 31. If you have the Blue Pew Bible, turn to page 917 in that. Romans chapter 8, starting verse 31. Paul says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares to accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. He goes on to say, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. And as we look at this today, help us to understand how we can live this life that is victorious through you, even when things are coming crashing down in our lives, that we can live, as Tony said, this be part of this victorious kingdom that lives through this victory. So I pray you would help us understand. I pray you would help me to just present the message you have given. Holy Spirit, we just rely on you today. Come, move in mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. As things come at us day after day, as we go through life, I think we need to remember what Paul says in verse 31. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? This puts life into perspective for me. There is no one that is more powerful than God. For those of us who have asked Jesus into our lives, our Heavenly Father is with us every step of life. He's there for us. His power is in everything we experience. If He is for us, look how no one can be in the opposition to us. Not in sickness or in unemployment, not in a problem or a difficulty. God is for us and we can't be defeated. Let's look at some examples of the power of God in the Bible. There's different situations, different groups of people. Let's first look at the Israelites. They were wandering the desert for 40 years, and now the time has come for them to enter into the promised land. God reminds them now of his power and how he was with them. He says, "Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from fire as you did and survived? Has any other God dared to take a nation for himself out of another nation by means of trials, miraculous signs, wonders, war, a strong hand and a powerful arm and terrifying acts? Yet that is what the Lord your God did for you in Egypt. Right before your eyes, I showed you these things so you would know that the Lord is God and there is no other." Look at it, at the power of God. And as how his power was used for Joshua and the Israelites. He says, "For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up and we all crossed over it. He did this also so that nations would know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might know that the Lord your God is your God forever." One other example is the Philistines and Samson. The Philistines were celebrating because they thought they had conquered Samson and his God. If you know the story, don't go too fast before me. But okay, so the Philistines, they were celebrating. And they had this big festival and offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, "Our God has given the victory over our enemy Samson." When people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power." Half drunk now, the people demanded, "Bring Samson to us so he can amuse us." So Samson was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the two pillars supporting the roof. Samson lost his power. His power is gone because his hair was cut. He had killed many Philistines. He had fallen in love, though, with Delilah, who was always trying to figure out where did he get this power. She was always trying to set him up that the Philistines would capture him and kill him. But he was so powerful. And Delilah was always asking him over and over and over and again. And finally, Samson gives in and he says, "No razor has ever been used on my head, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become weak as any other man." He finally told her. And one night he fell asleep on her lap, and Delilah had these Philistines come in and shave off his head, and the Lord left him. He was powerless. The Philistines seized Samson, gouged out his eyes, and took him to Gaza. The enemy, and this is where we jump back into where I was at. The enemy thought they had defeated Samson, just as Satan, though, thinks he has defeated us. He throws things at us, and he thinks we're defeated. But there is hope. Just as there was for Samson, we have hope in our lives too. Listen to what God did with his mighty power for Samson. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, "Place my hands against those pillars that hold up the temple. I want to just rest against them." Now the temple was completely filled with all the Philistine rulers. And then on the roof there was 3,000 men and women that were watching. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Imagine, here's Samson. He's just a man. He's weak. He's powerless. Then Samson put his hands on those pillars. And with one push, he pushed those out of the way. The temple came down crashing. That day, Samson killed more people than he did all his lifetime when he was killing them. God answered his prayer. And it was by God's power that those pillars came down, not by man. Prayer is the act that connects us to the power of God. It is the surrendering of ourself and saying, "I can't do this, God, on my own. I need your help. I can't handle this situation. Please help me. I give it to you. I trust in you." That's what prayer does. I love what Alistair Begg says in Pray Big. He says, "Our prayers tell us a great deal about ourselves and faith. As the 19th century Scottish preacher Robert Murray M'Cheyne reputedly and memorably put it, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. Our conversation with God is in private reveals what is in our hearts. Listen to someone pray, or listen to yourself pray, and you gain a window into the very center of the being. To put it another way, the way we use our money and spend our time reveals a great deal about what are our real priorities and what are our real beliefs. And so do our prayers, whether we pray, for whom we pray, or what we pray." Let's take a look at the difference that relying on God made in David's life. King David, and this is just the beginning when he was king, he came to the place where he was making this fortress his home, and he called it the City of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inward. And David became more and more powerful. Why? Because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. He's saying, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my Savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." David goes on to say, "The power of God, for who in all the heaven can compare with our Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like our Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you? Our Lord, you are entirely faithful." There is no one like our God. And I hope you're getting the picture of that. There is no one like him. Look what Paul says in verse 32 and 34 again. He says, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." This is the power of the gospel. Because of the gospel, God would give us anything we need. He has cleared us from anyone that would like to accuse us, especially our enemy, the devil. We have been made righteous before God through Jesus. Paul says this is the good news, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from the start to the finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. It is as if we never did anything wrong because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for each of us. Because of the cross, Jesus' death, and because he was raised to life, his resurrection, it was all for us. But to the world, Paul says, the message of the cross is foolish. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. God loved us so much that he didn't even spare his own son. You don't think after all that he would desert you in any way when you're going through a hard situation? Would God abandon you, especially at a crucial moment in your life when you need him the most? No way. He's there for us. Now that doesn't mean we don't go through things in life, but he's always there with us when we're going through them. Life could throw us terrible and hard things at us, but God is with us every step of the way. And every situation in our lives, he's right there. Look at verses 35 to 37 again with me, please. Paul says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. But Paul says, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. There's going to be pain, like when you lose the loved one. There's going to be persecution for when you take a stand for something you believe in, and especially when you take a stand for Jesus. You may feel threatened with death and possibly killed for taking a stand for Jesus. Just like we watched a few weeks ago, the Korean pastor who was killed for taking a stand for Jesus. Many in North Africa are losing their lives because they take a stand for Jesus. I don't know if you watch the news, but just 3 days ago, we have a pastor and his cousin and two daughters were kidnapped, and the deacon was killed as they took the car. And they had to take a stand for Jesus. They asked them to deny Christ and become a Muslim, or we're going to kill you. They killed the pastor and his cousin. Because they said, no way. We follow Jesus, only Jesus. His two daughters were released, but they lost their life. Does that mean God deserted them? No way. But as Paul said, and David also says in Psalm 44, 22, for Christ's sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. We need to remember, despite all the things that can come in our lives, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus. He has won the battle, and the victory is his, but not just his. It is ours through him. That is the power of the gospel. We have victory through Jesus, and that victory makes a difference in how we go through life. Victory makes a difference in how we handle a hard situation when it comes our way. We know that these things cannot separate us from Jesus, and we know it's not the end. On the other side, we have victory with Jesus. This gives us the power to go through it all, the gospel power through Christ's death and his resurrection. Like Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of this sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sure of this because Christ, Paul says, was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. If that doesn't get an amen, that's exciting because we have new life that God has given us through the Son. We have victory in life to go through life. And he's with us every step of our lives. When we are facing a hard diagnosis from the doctors, like our brother Don is going through right now, or when we hold on to, when we lost a job, or when we have a gun stuck at our head, or when we find ourselves missing a loved one who is no longer with us, or when our friends turned our backs on us. Those are hard things. We can have joy. It comes from God. And the power to go through this emptiness and pain that we can have in this world. Because Jesus is with us every step of the way. He has given us the victory through his Son. That's power. A powerful love. That is where our faith is lived out. How do non-Christians do it? Without Christ, it is very hard to deal with it. But we can because Jesus is the one that sees each of us through. Our faith, because of the power of the gospel, will see us through. If you haven't experienced hardship yet, trials, and some of the things I've been sharing, all of us will sooner or later in life. It's what helps us grow in our life. It helps our faith. It helps us go deeper with Christ because we realize we can't live this life on our own. We're dependent upon God only. I like Paul's promise here. He says, not only can nothing separate us from Christ, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Look one more time at verses 38 and 39. Paul says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are a lot of things that hit us in life, but none of them, no matter what comes our way, can separate us from God's love. His love is always there for us. It is the glue that keeps us from falling apart. Look at all the things that come our way that Paul was talking about that has no power against God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. If we know that there's nothing that is more powerful enough to separate us from God's love, how different do we live our lives if we're remembering that promise, that wonderful fact? The enemy knows that what he throws at us, and he's just trying to take our focus off of God and his love and his power that we have in our lives. He's trying to defeat us. Just think that of all that God has done for you when you're going through these trials, and how much he loved you that he gave his one and only Son. There's no greater love than this, that he laid down his life for each of us. And in the Daily Bread this week, I found, Bible Gateway, I like this verse as well. 1 John 4:10. This love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for us. And it was all because of his awesome and powerful love for each one of us. It was his love that kept him on the cross. Jesus had the power to walk right off that cross. He's God. But do you know why he stayed on that cross? Because he loves you and me. It was his love for us that kept him on the cross. He knew there was no other way that we could have forgiveness for our sins. He knew there was no other way that we could be reconciled to God. He knew there was no other way. So he stayed on that cross for us because of his love. The power of love that he has for you and me. Just think about all that powerful love that he has for you and me. So what do we do when it feels like all things are crashing down? Don't look back, but keep your eyes on Jesus and all his love and the power that he gives to us, and look to that finish line. Paul says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And he goes on to say, as Paul prayed, thanks God, the source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confidence, hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we are going through things that seem so hard, as life hits us dead on, know that your faith and trust in God will help you. He will give you hope and joy that comes from knowing how much he loves you, and knowing that nothing can take away that love. He will give you strength, God's strength, to keep on going. It's kind of like pi squared. Where's Daniel? Oh, now, Daniel, if I don't have this right, you tell me, but I think I have it right. Pi squared, if we take it to the decimal form, it goes on and on. It starts out 9.869044010893571205295137828249... ... I do all right? Okay. It just goes on and on. It doesn't have an end. But God's love is even greater than that. His love is for an eternity. It's always there for us. No matter what, his love is there for us. Goes on and on and on and on. The power of God's love was revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is not a once and done event, but it's a lifetime impact of Jesus in every part of our being and lives. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," he made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, God says, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Now get this picture God gives us. We're these fragile clay jars, and we have this great treasure inside us. He says this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves, because we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. That's what God has done for us. Through Jesus, Peter says, we have a priceless inheritance. Inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Paul, you read this one a little bit earlier, I believe. And though your faith, then through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation. It was ready to be revealed in that last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy, and even though you must endure many trials for a little while. So as we finish up, we can live a life of victory through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He has won, and we share in that victory. As we go through each day of our life, know that God is there for you. He has removed the power from that gun that the enemy has pointed at you. He has done everything possible to free us from the bondages of this world and from the attacks of the enemy. We just need to have faith and trust in him. We don't want to take our eyes off of Jesus. Focus on Jesus. The enemy wants to pull us aside, but focus on Jesus and what he has done for us in our lives. And remember his love, his powerful love. Remember how powerful God's love is. And we will go, as we go on our needs, admitting we are weak and need him. He will meet every need we have, and he will carry us through everything that comes our way. God is there cheering us on, but he's not just on the sideline. He is actively involved in each of our lives. And as we let him, he will never leave us. He's right there by our side. He will always be there no matter where we are. God is our biggest fan. But he's more than that. He's our Heavenly Father, and he is there to listen to us, support us, encourage us, counsel us. And if needed, he'll pick us up and carry us as long as we need him to. Amen. I want to finish with one more illustration from the Bible, and it's Job. You may not know Job, but he was a man who was blameless and upright before God. He loved God. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters and a wife, of course. And Satan told God that Job would turn his back on God as soon as he lost his family and his wealth. So God allowed him to kill all his family except his wife. And God allowed all his wealth to go. So he lost everything, and he did not turn his back on God. And through it all, how did he do it? It was rough for him. And his wife and friends weren't helping it either. But he reminded himself of who God is. Job says, "At this, my heart pounds and leaps from its place." Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, "Fall on the earth." Well, it didn't happen so far this year. And to the rain shower, "Be a mighty downpour, so that everyone he has made may know his works." So, as I started out, I said, how are you going to respond? So my question is, so how are each of us going to respond today? As one of the songs we sing here, some of the questions that it asked, I thought I'd read. It says, are you hurting and broken within? Are you overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Leave behind all your regrets and mistakes. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. For the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come. Oh, come to the altar. God's love awaits you. This morning, our elders, they're going to come sit up in the front pew. You don't have to be anointed, but if you have a need that you want to be anointed, you can come up. If you just want to come up and pray, or if you want to bring some people with you to pray with you, we are family. So as I pray, and then as the team comes, allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you in the way you're supposed to respond today. Let's pray. This is Paul's prayer for us. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope Jesus has given to those he called his holy people, who are rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor of God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I pray that you will trust in him and allow Christ to make his home in your hearts. May your roots grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I pray that you may experience the love of Christ, though it is so great to understand it fully, and that you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Amen.